Hello and welcome to episode 229 of the Daily Brainwave. My name is Sean and I will be your host as we try and discover the most useful and interesting fact known to mankind. Find us online at dailybrainwave.com and contact the show via email at Sean, that's S-E-A-N, at dailybrainwave.com. Today we'll take a look at the story of Mulan as a part of Dark Disney Tale Week. Disney's Mulan features a spunky young woman in ancient China, taking the place of her father when the emperor conscripts his subjects to ward off the Hun threat from the north. Aided in her quest by Eddie Murphy as a lovable dragon Mushu,
I am the powerful, the pleasurable, the indestructible Mushu.
Her horse, and a lucky cricket, she has to dress and act like a man to blend in with the males that make up the army. If anyone discovers her secret, she will not only shame herself, but she will bring dishonor on her whole household and, to top it off, all of her ancestors. She and her singing comrades, whose voices included Donny Osmond in the U.S. version and Jackie freaking Chan in the Chinese dub, faced off against the Huns, and Mulan personally saves the emperor's life. She returns home safe and sound, and society learns that femininity comes in many forms, from dressing up like a China doll and acting meek and passive, to stepping up and taking the helm by joining the army in your dad's place when he cannot. This was one of Disney's first truly empowering film for girls, and unlike some of the other Disney adaptations like Beauty and the Beast or Little Mermaid, Disney didn't need to deviate a ton from the original moral to make that point. Mulan first appeared in the now long-lost text called The Poem of Mulan, recorded sometime in the 6th century AD. Copies of that lost text do still exist, though, and the short ballad tells of a young girl who took her father's place in the Khan's army. She goes 10,000 miles in the war machine. She crosses mountain passes as if flying. Northern gusts carry sound of army rattles. Cold light shines on iron armor. Generals die in 100 battles. Stout soldiers return after 10 years. Eventually, Mulan ends up before the Son of Heaven, the Khan himself. She turns down his gifts and rewards, asking only for his fastest horse to take her back home as quickly as possible. Upon reunion with her family, she puts away her warrior's togs and puts on the dress and makeup she wore before she left. She walks out her front door where all of her comrades in arms were waiting, and they were shocked to see that she was a woman all along. The moral of the story, told in the last four lines of the poem, goes, the he-hare's feet go hop and skip. The she-hare's eyes are muddled and fuddled. Two hares running side by side, close to the ground. How can you tell if I'm a he or she? The point being, while there may be physical differences between male and female, when they are in action, in motion, striving towards a goal, it's hard to tell at first glance who is the guy and who is the girl. Nor does it really matter. While this may be an inspirational message from the long past, I wouldn't rush to give the ancient Chinese any awards for feminist theory. A single poem does not an egalitarian society make. Some academics say the poem was likely meant more as a way to cow men into being more manly, using the class's sexist argument, if a little girl can fight a war for 12 years, why can't you? Not all versions of the Mulan story end quite so happily either. One notable 6-chapter excerpt from an epic Chinese story written in 1675 tells of a Mulan who gets home after the war to discover her father, who she went to war to save in the first place, has died. Don't worry, though, because the emperor is ready and willing to take Mulan in as a concubine. Not wanting to comply, but unable to escape that fate, she commits suicide. What is it about these stories and suicide? Humanity has always felt the need to communicate. Even before any sort of formal mail service was formed, groups of people left messages for each other. Letters and written messages have served as a primary means of communication for civilization for thousands of years. Heck, the Postal Service was even a key catalyst for sparking the American Revolution. So much so that Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution actually addresses the mail. So join us for Mail Week, starting Monday, right here on the Daily Brainwave. Thanks for tuning in to episode 229 of the Daily Brainwave. Email the show with comments and suggestions at Sean, that's S-E-A-N, at dailybrainwave.com. And check out our website, www.dailybrainwave.com, where you can find sources and links for further reading about today's topic. And make sure you tune in tomorrow as we wrap up Dark Disney Tale Week. And just let it go.